We've reached the fourth and final week of this series on change. It would be comforting to think that now we've got here, we've got everything sorted, and we can just settle in and get on with life. Probably, though, there's more listening to do, more uncertainty to live with. If we're looking for the answer to a particular question, what shall I do? And then having decided that, put a full stop after it, we might be shortchanging ourselves. This process isn't just about a particular choice. It's about entering more deeply into a cooperative relationship with God that goes on changing the shape of how we live. In these last days, as I've been thinking about all this, the phrase going with the flow has been coming to mind. To go with the flow suggests adaptability, working with what happens rather than being over attached to set plans. And that seems a helpful approach in a time when we're getting over familiar with unfamiliarity, with uncertainty. Going with the flow might also suggest a laid back stance, not getting too het up. Why struggle when you can let go into the current? Different images come to mind. Swimming with the tide is so much easier than swimming against it. Then, though, I've left my clothes and my shoes and my towel there on the beach, and if I just let the water take me where it wants to go, I'll never see them again. Then there's the flow of traffic, whether human or motorised. In days past, I would sometimes arrive at London Bridge Station at a time when others were leaving work to go home. It was a dangerous business. Commuters at that point are, I think, on autopilot, heads down, moving forward. And the wash of commuters, if you're not careful, can mow you down. You're moving against the flow. You're invisible. Or have you ever done that thing if you're driving, perhaps going along a familiar road, familiar journey, and you can do it all really without thinking. You're changing gear and signalling, moving lanes, and some part of you is engaged with that. Meanwhile, you're thinking about whatever. And then you wake up and you recognise, that's not where I want to get to today. I'm making a completely different journey. And you have to find a place to turn round and plot a new course. Almost a conversion experience. A useful question to ask is, which flow or whose flow are you going with? Is it the flow of the crowd, or the flow of how you've always done things, or the flow of responding to the next thing asked of you? When I get into the habit of following those impulses, I recognise I begin to feel lost. I become one who is driven, out of touch with who I am. I'm in drift. Going with the flow of the Holy Spirit is very different and feels different. It's more active. To go with this flow, we have to listen to our experience and notice what's happening for us inside and discern within all of that what's the invitation of the Holy Spirit. It's not jumping to attention at the familiar tug at our ankles, as Mary Oliver described in her poem, The Journey. Going with the flow here is a conscious and intentional seeking. Maybe my direction now runs counter to where the crowd is going. Maybe it takes me off that familiar road that I can drive without thinking, and I really have to watch my direction. Maybe I'm being challenged to resist. I think of Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem, knowing the trouble that waited for him there. Going with the flow of the Spirit is the experience of transforming relationship. We're becoming a different person. Or rather, we're becoming our own person, learning to let go into who we are, into who God has made us to be, and to trust this even when it surprises us by leading us against the current of how we've done things up to now, or takes us along our own road towards Jerusalem. Last week, we were thinking about those larger issues that belong to our lifetime and yet will have consequences for generations that follow. Black Lives Matter, climate change, the abuse of the natural world of which we're a part and on which we depend, inequality, poverty, injustice, the list goes on. We're called to not only pray, "Your will be done," but to live it. "Your kingdom come, here on earth as in heaven." It's difficult. There are forces beyond our control. Walls set up against justice, inclusion, and the notion of a common life. Yet left to itself, water finds a way. It seeps through bricks, discovers cracks. "We shall overcome," the protesters of a past generation sung. They weren't saying, "It's going to happen now." They were singing their intent to stay with the struggle until movement took place. Lives beyond our lives depend on that resolve at work in us. One of the things I examined last week was the dangers of a mastery approach, a making things happen no matter what, where only I, or we as a group, decide what needs to happen, when and how. Going with the flow is relational, a continuing dialogue with experience based on attentive listening and humility, and with God who meets us within this experience. We won't have complete mastery of our destination or our path, yet we are active in seeking to follow a direction and be responsive to a movement that is bigger than us and is us at depth. And so there is this balance between a determination expressed in seeking and acting and being receptive, humble, and open. I remember listening to Mendelssohn's Songs Without Words. They're a series of piano pieces where the song is constantly surprising, and wondering how Mendelssohn knew what note came next. And then the answer came. He didn't know. The piano knew. With all the need we might have to plan, to be practical, to be strategic in enabling change to take place, still, we don't know all the moves. We are cooperating with the Spirit in continuing to discern how to be and how to act, rather than telling God, "Look, here is my plan, and here, please bless it." So thinking about now, to what degree do you sense the flow of your own spirit, the flow of the Holy Spirit at this time? Do you feel yourself drawn in a new direction? Have you perhaps already taken steps along a path and are now wondering what happens next? Sometimes the flow of the Spirit surprises us with its strength, a fountain welling up within, like that the Samaritan woman experienced when she met Jesus by the well. In Mary Oliver's words, "One day you finally knew what you had to do and began." At other times, the water seems to be stagnant without energy or direction, and we might begin to wonder whether the change we sought and the new direction we thought we were called in are no more than deceits. Recently I read a poem by Jessica Powers called Abraham about our father in faith, and perhaps he should also be called the father of those who seek new directions amidst uncertainty, as one who set out for a land he did not know. The poem reflects the struggles and the pain we can experience when the flow of the life-changing spirit seems to be at a low ebb. I love Abraham, that old, weather-beaten, unwavering nomad. When God called to him, no tender hand wedged time into his stay. His faith erupted him into a way far off and strange. How many miles are there from Ur to Haran? Where does Canaan lie, or slow, mysterious Egypt sit and wait? How could he think his ancient thigh would bear nations, or how consent that Isaac die with never an outcry or an anguished prayer? I think, alas, how I manipulate dates and decisions, pull apart the dark, dally with doubts here and with counsels there, take out old maps and stare. Was there a call at all, my fears remark? I cry out, Abraham, old nomad you, are you my father? Come to me in pity. Mine is a far and lonely journey too. In my local woods, there's a seasonal stream called the Tsar Pen. It's a lively river in winter and an almost dry course in summer, with just residual pools of water trapped in their place, awaiting rain. One day last autumn, as the rains began and the dry stream began to swell, I found myself removing logs that had fallen into the river. I wanted the stream to flow once more, to connect all those trapped pools and let the water run free. Maybe that reflected what was happening for me, or maybe not happening, not yet. I wanted to do my bit to get things moving, to shake out my fears or confront my settling into what was comfortable yet lacked life. That physical act of clearance helped the stream. But ultimately the water had to rise high enough for barriers to turn into tumbling waterfalls. If not much seems to be happening for you just now, maybe there's a log, a block, and perhaps you can see it and begin to shift it out of the way. Or maybe it's a matter of waiting for the waters to rise and the stream to gather momentum and direction. There's one more dimension of going with the flow that might be useful to explore. Because what we are working with is a flow, change cannot be restricted to a single act. There may have been a single issue or choice that you've been considering over these weeks, and that process of discernment and any decisions and choices that have come from it matters. And it's not an end. Change begets change. We know that from daily life. Maybe you begin to paint walls in a room and then you look round the rest of the room and see everything that's old and shabby or needs renewal. Change begets change. That's why it's important not to underestimate the impact of what might seem a small step that you decide to take. A single change, whether we judge it to be weighty and significant or slight and of little consequence, creates momentum. Often we cannot see what we have set in motion. So looking forward, What support might you need as you continue to explore change, and how you want to be part of the movement of the Spirit as we work together for the kingdom? Find a person to talk to. This could be a spiritual director, a spiritual accompanier, someone who'll help you listen to your experience and work out where within it is the invitation of the Spirit. It could be a wise person that you know, someone you feel easy to talk with, someone who doesn't come with their own agenda, but allows you to explore your questions. You might want to carry on with some of the tools that we've used over these weeks. The examine, for example, listening to your experience of the day in company with God, noticing, getting in touch with what was happening for you and the invitation of the Spirit within that, or using a journal to notice and record those key moments of insight or understanding. If you're a more visual person, you might want to do something like have a mood board. You know, those things that people do perhaps when they're thinking about their new garden or how they want their house to be, and they gather pictures and they put them together, and maybe they put some words in there as well. And it feeds the imagination. It frees people to think beyond what is now. And maybe in the swirl of what's going on, something like that might help you. What I would say is look after yourself. This experience of change, everything that's happened through coronavirus, has not just been unsettling, it's been draining. I think most of us have found that. Even though there have been good things within it, perhaps, still, change itself takes a lot from us. So find time to do that something that refreshes and energizes and resources you, whatever it is. And go on giving time to this process of listening, exploring. It's not just about a single step. It's a long walk into a relationship that will go on transforming you. Where are you going? Do you have a sense of this? So much is hard to know. But is there a glimmer of direction you can recognise? A particular step you are contemplating making? Which flow, whose flow are you going with, do you want to go with? To end with, a time of prayer. Holy Spirit, be the flow of our lives. Help us to listen, look, notice, ponder. Help us to know what is true and to trust it. Be our courage and our creativity. Be our resting place amidst uncertainty. Holy Spirit, be the flow of our lives, individually and together.